My parents were born in Finland. They were Swedish Finns. Part of Finland is Swedish. My dad came over in 1905 in May. He was going to come to a land of milk and honey, you know. And it wasn't so good. He came to Bovi because he had a cousin in Bovi. Bovi was just started, you know. It was just pigs running around the first main street. He lived down by Trout Lake in a little shack. So he wrote and he wanted to come back to the old country. And my mother said she didn't want to lose face, you know. So she said, no, you stay there. She said, I'll come there. So my mother and her sister came over in October. They came to Grand Rapids and then they had to go to Bovi on a stagecoach. And they said that stagecoach tip went back and forth and they were afraid they were going to fall out. She said going over corduroy roads and swamps and stuff to Bovi because it wasn't any real good road in there yet.
Was your dad a miner?
He did drilling some and he did a lot of carpenter and plumbing. I think he built the house in the next year. They were, like I said, they were in that shack down by the lake, but they couldn't all three stay in there, so they moved in the house right where the Catholic Church is now.
Okay.
They had a boy in 1909, but he lived a year and a half, and then he died. Then I was born in 1912, and then my two brothers right after me. Mm-hmm. I think that first boy, I think he died probably, I'm just guessing this, that from food poisoning, because, you know, they didn't have refrigeration or anything like that. And you couldn't give them IVs or they couldn't get fluids. He couldn't keep anything in his stomach and had diarrhea. So I think it was just probably some food he ate or something. I don't know.
What are some of your earliest memories of growing up in Bovi?
Well, first I remember being downtown. You know, the kids just ran wild in the whole town. I don't think your parents ever knew where the kids were. But I remember going down the main street on a hot day and it had that tar. And the tar would bubble up in the heat. And I remember stepping with our toes, you know, knocking all those bubbles down on the street. I don't know what people thought of us kids. And then they had those grates, you know, in front of the buildings, I suppose for the basement window, or I don't know. And we'd have to look in all of those to see if somebody lost a nickel down there, and then get a stick with a piece of gum and get it.
Were there a lot of people who weren't from Bovi passing through?
I don't remember too much about the trams, but there were trams. And my mother always used to feed them, but she never let them in the house.
Talk about the man from the picture, Grace.
My mother didn't like that picture, Grace. She knew the man, and she said, I don't want that man hanging on my wall. So none of our family ever had that picture, and I kind of like the picture, but I have a picture too, but I never hung it. Somebody gave me one.
Your mother actually knew the person who...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he claimed to be the illegitimate son of the King of Sweden. That's what he claimed, but I don't know. He was kind of a bum, I think.
Mary?
I thought he was a peddler, Anna.
Yeah, he was a peddler. I remember going down to the depot in Bovi and that big engine coming and all that steam and all that, and we were right there and that big thing right in front of us, you know. I was scared to death. But we were going to Virginia then to visit my mother's brother. And we took the train to Hibbing. And then from Hibbing, there was a streetcar that went to Virginia. So we took the streetcar. And I remember going over that lake in Chisholm in that streetcar, and all I could see was water on both sides, and I was kind of scared. And I remember the train, the seats were, I don't know if it was red or green, but it was velvet. And I thought, oh, what beautiful seats, you know.
Your father died when you were young?
Yeah. He died in 1918, just before I was, before my...
Your sixth birthday.
Yeah.
And how did he die?
He had TB. But I think he had probably that asbestos thing, too, because he did plumbing, and he covered all these steam pipes with asbestos. And we had a furnace in the basement, and it was, the whole furnace was covered with that asbestos. And I have an idea that was part of it. But they called it TB, so... Mm-hmm. He was in the TB sand for a while, but he said he kept writing home and saying he didn't want to stay there because he wanted to die with his family.
Yeah. Where was the TB sanitarium?
Down at Walker.
Walker, Agua Ching.
Yeah, Agua Ching.
Yeah, okay.
And I have the letters that my mother and he exchanged while he was there. And every one of them he begged to go home, and he kept asking for her to send him some bedroom slippers, kartoffler.
So you grew up in a home where Finnish was spoken?
Swedish.
Swedish?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know much English when I went to kindergarten. In fact, none of the kids in kindergarten could talk English. There was Finns and Swedes and Italians and Czechs, and even had a couple Turks.
Really? What was that like?
I can't remember too much about kindergarten. Mm-hmm. The only thing I remember was a big clock. It wasn't a real clock. It was just a make. And then she pushed the hands around, and I suppose she was teaching us time, but I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But I think most of it we were learning English.
Yeah. How come you were only four when you went to kindergarten?
Well, I think my mother wanted to get rid of me. She had two boys younger than me, and my dad in bed sick with, she was taking care of him, and she had to be careful. She didn't want us to get TB, so we had a big archway between the dining room and living room, and she had a bed in the living room and had a temporary wall put over the archway so that us kids couldn't get in there, and just a little door, and she had to step over. I remember she had to step over something. And I remember whenever she'd go in there, we'd run, we wanted to look in there. Mm. I don't know if the boys did, but I did.
So how did your mother and you and your brothers survive after your dad died?
Well, my dad had built that house, and it was a two-story house and a very nice house. In fact, a lot of people said it was the nicest house in town. I don't think it was, but they thought it was. And she had boarders and roomers, and us kids never had a bedroom until I was a teenager, I guess. We all three slept on the davenport in the living room. Hmm.
The people who boarded at your house, what were they like?
Well, they were mostly Scandinavians. And they were, they called them the drill team, the drilling the mine.
I heard your mother also did laundry for the Oliver Mining Company.
Yeah, she did laundry. She worked for, I know she worked for Dr. Tucker, washed their clothes. And he had those white coats, you know. And she'd have to iron that with those irons you put on the stove, you know. And then... The Oliver Mining Company had an office building. It's still there in Coleraine. And they didn't have paper towels there. And it was, I guess it was for the officials or something. I don't know. But they had these cloth towels. And my mother washed those. She had about 100 a week. I remember her letting me iron them. She put an ironing board between two chairs and then heated the iron on the stove. And then she'd have to change it when it was changed, and she let me iron those. I was really proud of that. But then we had put them in a box. It was kind of like one of those big apple boxes. And we put it on a wagon in the summer and a sled in the winter and hauled it over to Coleraine to the Oliver Mining Company office. And that man was so nice, it was cold. He would let us come in and warm up a little bit. That was my brother, Walter. I think Sanford was too young at that time. Going home one time, and we found a little kitten sitting in a pool of, it was just, the snow was just melting, and the kitten was in this kind of water and stuff, and Walt and I picked it up and put it in the dirty towel thing, you know, and took it home. My mother was so mad at us. We had to keep the cat. There were two or three of us girls that kind of hung together. We were Swedish. Our folks were friends, you know. And anyhow, one of the girls said she found a new way to get candy. You didn't have to have any money. You just say charge it. And that was, we didn't know what that meant. But anyhow, we kept going to Cappelletti's, that Italian store there. And one day, Mr. Cappelletti saw Mrs. Matz down the street, and he said, when are you going to pay your bill? And she said, my bill? She said, and she wouldn't ever darken that door herself. And she didn't know anything about it. So he told her about it, so that was the end of our candy. We used to go down the alleys and look by the trash cans to see if anybody threw anything good out. And sometimes they'd have a butter jar, and we get 9 cents for a butter jar. But most of the people, you know, got the refund themselves. But we'd find them, or milk bottles and cream bottles. We get less for those, but a butter jar was 9 cents, I remember that. And then we came to one place. This lady was had been a school teacher, but teachers were not allowed to be married, and she had married, but they were living there. We came there, and they had a bunch of corsets, and so we took them home. And then the next day, two of the girls, they hid them in one of the girls. Her folks had a barn. People had cows in town, too. They had a barn, so they put them in the barn, and then the next morning, they went out in the barn, this other gal and her, and put these corsets on. And they went to school. Well, when they got in the school to sit down, their arms went up like this because all those staves in the corsets. So the teacher had to take them in the cloakroom and see what was wrong.
Later, when you became an adult, what did you do after school?
Well, at that time, the girls in Bovee, the only things that were open for them was to do housework or be a stenographer or a nurse. Well, I picked nurse, and I didn't know what a nurse did, but I picked that anyhow. And there were three of us from our class that went down to this Bethesda Hospital in St. Paul. So we took our training there. And that was kind of hard because we never had a day off. We had 2 half-days a week. Of course, this was during the Depression. They gave us $5 a month, was what we got. And that's what we got along on.
Did you live at the hospital?
They had nurses' homes. They had two different nurses' homes. One was an old mansion. And that's the ones I lived in. I was up on the third floor.
Now, was this in St. Paul?
Yeah, in St. Paul, right. It's just a block north of the Capitol. When they built that Highway 35 through St. Paul, the hospital was right there, so they had to tear it down, and we built this new one north of the Capitol. So I spent the last year up in the new hospital.
And what brought you back to Northern?
And there wasn't any work after that. We could do a little private duty, but the I finished my 3 years in March, and then we weren't taking our state boards until in April. So the hospital, if we wanted to, the hospital let us stay there. We had to work, but we got our board and room. No money, but we got board and room until state boards. And then my mother and two of the other girls, their parents made us come home to Bovee.
Did you want to come home?
I don't know. I was just kind of, I didn't know what was going to happen. And I did some private duty down in St. Paul. Oh, I signed up on the registry in St. Paul. Then I go to Bovee, and then I get a call You had to wait for your turn on the registry before you got a job. When I got a call in Bovee, then I'd get on the bus and go down to St. Paul and work as long as that case lasted. Then I'd go back home.
Okay.
Well, when the government had these programs, and they had a nursery school in Bovee Schoolhouse for kids under five, and I got a job there as a nurse. Well, the government, anyhow, the government wanted us, said we had to give all the kids cod liver oil. And they all said, oh, my child, you will never get my boy to take any cod liver oil. They all said that. So I thought, well, I got to do something here. So I got a case of oranges. Then I don't know if I halved them or quartered them or how I fixed them, but I piled them on a plate on the table. And then I sat there, and I had a bunch of tablespoons. And I announced to the kids, I said, now, you don't have to take this cod liver oil if you don't want to, but if you get the cod liver oil, you can have an orange, a piece of orange. So a few came the first day, and next day a few more, and pretty soon all of them were there with their mouth wide open, just grabbed it, and then they ran off. So they got their orange.